Greetings, I'm Jimmy Chapman, and we're going to talk today about something long overdue to you. My Quicklit tabletop role-playing game rule set. That was a mouthful. Anyway, let's get started. This podcast goes hand in hand with the blog post it's attached to. Also attached to that post may be the rule set we're talking about in PDF form. Though it neither includes random tables to help you decide aspects about your games, nor have I yet to conclude if I'm selling this PDF or not. Something like 49 cents up on DriveThruRPG or similar. In any case, you can find more information about this cast on blog post numbers 12 and 13, I think? The Quick TTRPG Overview, posted on jimmychatton.com. Also, since I started preparing this, it's best we split the post in two. For a rule set to only have a single piece of paper, there's a lot to talk about as I'm finding writing this cast. Even if you don't have the rules in front of you, I'll do my best to verbally lay out for you the format and specifics. So, keep this in mind as you listen. We'll start by differentiating between action and roleplay-oriented games. That ties directly into player character creation and the tools characters use. So, that'll be covered. Taking a step back, how a player uses their character is laid out step by step, followed by how a game moderator, or GM, helps them do that. I'll finish with rules that apply to everybody, the stuff needed to play, and a little more about how this game came about. When you first open up the rules, you see the title, Quick TTRPG. Original, I know. You'll see something else, the word action. Page twice down and you'll see the same Quick TTRPG, but this time with roleplay after it. Really, this document is two sets of rules. One page each front and back. The first set is for the action-oriented gameplay, tailored for the smash-and-grab, murder-hoboing battler crowd. Though you can still act socially as a character, the building blocks of that rule set cater to affecting change in the world through action, not words. The second rule set, roleplay, is meant to allow players to act. A cornerstone of a player's character is their ability to mingle with each other and the non-player characters in the world. Between the two sets, action and roleplay, the rules are very, very much the same, both in layout and execution. The only major differences are the intention of the rules and the statistics or stats for the characters. Since the former is really subjective, let's go over the latter. The tool rule sets share three of the same stats: mind, machine, and muscle. Though they end up applying to slightly different things when deciding what happens because of an action, they are the purest, most intuitive description of what a character could fictionally do. With their mind, characters pull up knowledge or focus, or are aware, or solve riddles. With their muscles, bodies are set in motion to push, to pull, to run, and jump and smack. And lastly, machine. The least intuitive in name, because the word manipulation is a little too long, is how a character interacts with technology, be it tools, software, or some other mix of both physical dexterity and mental acuity. Clear as mud? Great. The breakdown of action stats goes like this. Mind is mental ability. It's awareness, focus of any kind. Use it for interacting with fictional characters. Machine is the mechanical and physical manipulation ability of a character. Dexterity with tools, using computers, fixing hardware, handling firearms, piloting vehicles, that and more. Muscle is physical strength. Lifting, pushing, pulling, swinging, throwing, and exerting oneself powerfully. Though not quickly. As the fourth stat, special to action-oriented gameplay, motion is a character's physical speed. Use it to run, to jump, to draw weapons, be nimble, aside from the operation of tools, for that's the machine stat, and act faster in any way. Those are action-oriented stats. Roleplay games follow a similar track. Mind. Be aware, know things, focus, but does not include the basic act of talking to another character. Machine. Exactly the same as an action-oriented game. It determines how a character works with a complex tool, be it a car or a machine gun. Muscle is strength still, but also movement. Running or otherwise performing physically is covered under this stat. So roleplay's last stat, the special thing that, well, makes it special, is more of a soft skill than action-oriented hack and slash. For that, we use the mingle stat. This dictates how a character performs socially. Influencing, intimidating, charming, bartering. If a character needs to get along with another character, mingle shows how well it can be done. The only real difference here between being primarily physical with a character and role-playing a character is that action gameplay splits moving from muscle, sticking it into motion, and role-playing takes socializing from mental ability and puts it into the mingle stat. And that's about it. Those are the only stat differences. The stats, as a whole, all coincide with verbs, the actions, a character can take in any fictional world. Each character splits a negative 1, a 0, a plus 1, and a plus 2 to any of their stats in any order. Essentially, you are given 4 levels that you can then apply to how you interact in the world. Really, it's what a player wants their characters to do most, and what they expect their character will do the least in any game. Everything else about a character boils down to the number of hits a character may take and what tools are brought along on the adventure. Hits are like having hit points or the health you'll find in other games. I've concluded a player character best starts with 6 hits, leaving room for differences in species and conditioning. If the game and the players want to make it a little crunchier in the details. A character can be harmed in whatever way the game narrative thinks is appropriate. This being emotions, in their social standing, sanity, blood and guts. It only matters that something about a character matters, and its absence would prevent a character from acting. When a character is harmed in any way, a hit is removed. Usually this will be a single hit, but some things have huge consequences. Being punched does not have the same consequence as falling 30 feet. Those additional hits from more severe effects can be mitigated by tools, and we'll cover that topic in just a minute. Hits can be regained through whatever healing process is appropriate for the game. A first aid kit, a long night's rest, eating, returning to the boxing corner, an apology, or a month in a full medical suite are examples of gaining hits back. When out of hits, a character can't be used to act anymore. Why? Well, figure it out in the fiction of the game. Think of something, be creative. Maybe they can come back someday, maybe they can't. Regardless, a player needs to make another character to be introduced either immediately or brought in after whatever made their last character cease and desist. Oh, and before I forget, as a general rule of thumb, is that if you can hit something, it can hit back. Even a brick wall, where if you punch it and the punch goes badly, and who would have thought that would have gone badly, you could lose a hit and have gained a broken hand. Speaking of hands, every character has two. These interact with tools in the world. At character creation, a character comes prepared, carrying at least something in their hands. Every character also comes with four of what I call I have just the thing tools. These can turn into any basic tool that either takes a hit against whatever it's used on, let's say a weapon, prevents a hit from happening. For example, armor, which every character also wears when they first start the game. A minor utility, like some length of rope. A minor consumable of food, fuel, or ammunition. Or a plus one skill that takes 6 turns to be used again. The use of tools is meant to increase the chances of what you want to happen happening. Pretty straightforward, with tools acting as the primary means of reward for characters while playing. It's finding treasure. Who doesn't like finding treasure? Tools limited to a set number of uses or situations, or slowly expiring, are also means of which to give players incredibly powerful items that don't unbalance an entire game setting. At the beginning, after deciding on stats and tools, give the character a name and maybe some physical descriptors that don't have an obviously beneficial or detrimental effect in the game. Tack on anything else you would like, so long as it's not impacting the game in a readily apparent manner. So now you have this character with 4 stats and some fitting tools for the game. As a player, you've accomplished your first responsibility. Make a character. The next requirement of a player is to listen to the game moderator describe the fictional world. You decide on things you'd like your character to do. Tell the GM the intention and what stats or tools you think fit the situation. Respect any advice or rulings the GM makes, and then you roll dice to see what happens. The dice you roll are 2 6-sided dice. The rolled value also adds to it any stat or tool that is agreed on to be applicable. That sum then dictates one of the 5 possible outcomes. If you have a 2 or less, it's a critical failure. What you wanted does not happen. And instead, 3 bad things happen. On a 3 to 6, what you wanted doesn't happen, but only 1 bad thing does. On a 7 to 10, you get what you want, but a bad thing also happens. Be that a lesser result of what you wanted, some harm taken, or an unintended consequence of the action. On 11 to 12, you get what you want. And more than a 12. What you want happens, and you get another turn to act. You don't have to act on that additional turn, because, of course, more bad things could happen. But you're on a roll, right? Why not take a chance? As mentioned, bad things will end up being lesser results of what you wanted to happen happening. Harm to the character, or an important object, loss of a hit or a tool, or an unintended consequence that makes things more complex. Another rule of thumb is that a character typically never attempts the same thing the same way twice. But if they're willing to accept the consequences, why not? In total, a player is specifically responsible for creating a character, tracking what that character has, articulating what that character wants to do to the GM, rolling to see what happens, and accepting the consequences. Gather tools, also known as loot in some games, go forth, and get what you want. Easy. What's not as easy is cramming all there is to say about this rule set into a single podcast. I'm sorry you have to wait until next time to finish these rules off, so I'll aim to make it well worth it. Chat with you in a bit over part 2 next week. Cheers.